know, most Americans believe that women and men can be friends outside of their committed marriage relationship. What do you think? Do you believe that's possible? According to Barna and the research, nearly 90% believe that. Millennials, at least. I wonder if older folks, some of the X generation, and maybe even some baby boomers. I don't know what you all think here. But the research is pretty clear. The Journal of Social and Personal Relationships, American Scientific, in fact, reports that lurking around the corner, waiting to pounce in most inopportune moment can be romance in opposite sex friendships. By the way, if you missed the show last week, last Wednesday it was, I encourage you to go and listen to it at our website. Part one of this two-part discussion on this topic. I want to make a couple steps. By the way, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder of Intentional Living. We're here in our Intentional Life studios and Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio, along with Jennifer and Amy and Steven and our team. We love you guys, want the best for you. That's why we're doing this topic today. I want to make a couple statements, and we're going to get to our calls. Don't assume that it can't happen to you. Pride goes before a fall, and it can. And if it doesn't happen to you, it may be happening in the life of the other person that you're a friend with, that you don't even know about, is happening to them. I think it's really important, and the research is very clear, that we need to plan ahead. If you do have a working relationship and you're involved with, you know, people of the opposite sex in a working relationship, and it could be even in a setting where there's a lot of emotion. I mean, you're singing together in the choir, or you're serving in a place together, you have similar interests, and that's a ripe and a fertile ground for that kind of thing. Plan ahead. It's called implementation intention, according to psychology. If this occurs, then I know in advance how I'm going to respond. Don't wait until you're in the point that you don't know how to respond to something that you know in your heart, hey, this isn't going in the right direction. And protect your life and the life of that friend of yours. It's not only your life that can be messed up and your family, but the life of that person. And keep it honest with your spouse. Keep it real. If you have friends outside, working relationships, no secrets, and always respect your spouse's wishes, even at times when you're not sure why they wish that. But because you love them, and not only your interest, but their interest as well. All right, let's get to the calls here. You can join us, by the way, in your comments at our storyline at 888-888-1717. Selena, are you there?
I am. Hello, how are you?
Good, appreciate your call. What do you think about this opposite sex friendship? What's your take?
I think it's okay. I really do. And I have not always had that mindset. I truly believe it begins with the maturity of your spouse and yourself, mm-hmm. and the posture of your heart and your spouse's heart, you know, because, you know, it's ultimately a soul problem. If you're seeking your spouse like Christ seeks you, it's hard to fall into that temptation. It's okay.
What about the friend, though? What if their heart isn't right, or they're not as mature as you are?
And you tell them, hey, I'm married. I don't appreciate you acting like that towards me. This is where I stand, and there's no interest on my end.
Have you had that experience?
No, but my husband has.
Oh. Was he honest with you about it?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, so it's harder for me to have that.
was he honest with you about coming and saying, hey, I want you to know what happened?
Yeah, he was. He was. He told me, and I was upset. Not at him, but at the situation. Because, I mean, you see a ring on a man's finger, you would think most women would respect that. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in.
No.
So, so I don't know. I guess my call today is to just, I think it's okay to have friendships of the opposite sex. I know me and my husband have friendships, but they're mutual friendships.
Yes.
And I think that plays a huge role in it.
Absolutely.
And if, you know, we want to reach out to them, he texts the male friend and I text the female friend, or, you know, I mean, there's only one person I text outside of our mutual friends, and that's a male, and that is our children's godfather, and that's very rare.
See, what I hear though, Selena, is yes, but you also put some, you and your husband agreed to some boundaries and some communication, and in other words, you've prepared for the relationship, so you know it's not going to be a problem because we know what we're going to do and how we're going to handle it.
Yeah, and I think it's important for others to realize or to keep their guard up always, because that friend of yours may be a good friend, but the devil is always out to kill, steal, and destroy.
Absolutely.
And especially if you have a family, there's so much more at stake. I mean, there's just enough is at stake when you're just in a marriage and no kids. I mean, you got a covenant you made with God and your partner, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. I think you need to be intentional.
Oh, that word does show up around here sometimes. Selena, you are absolutely right, and I'll cap it there because that's exactly what we're talking about. And I mentioned about this this thing that's called implementation intention, which is a big fancy psychological way of saying you better be prepared. The if then that Selena's talking about, if this happens, this is what happens. And that's what Selena says. This happens, this is what I'm going to do. It happened in my husband's life, this is what he did. There is plenty of reason. By the way, this isn't just about opposite sex friendships. This is about your eating habits. This is about those of us who are driving down the road and we're a little bit hungry and pop into the fast food with a place when we shouldn't. Hello. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do. That's true with money. If one of the reasons we get into financial problems is we don't have an intention. We're not ready with an if then. If this happens and I have a desire for something, I'm going to talk to my spouse, or we're going to go back to my budget or something before I spend the money. And this is true in this whole thing of friendships as well. If this occurs, we have agreed in advance, this is what we're going to do. And when that happens, better things happen in the marriage. All right, let's take a quick break, right? Jennifer, sounds good. Let's do that. We'll be right back. I'm going to go to Veronica next, and it's interesting. She works in a male-dominated field, all men around her, and we'll find out how she relates. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
But you think about tripwires. You ever notice the deadlines of tripwires? You have a calendar date, you got that report due, or whatever it may be, but then all of a sudden it's a tripwire that brings you, shakes you out of autopilot. Say, hey, I've got to get this done. A budget's another tripwire. We're over budget, we're under budget, but it's a tripwire. If things get out of whack, we can shake us out of autopilot and look at what's going on. Money in the bank. What does your bank account or your financial statement look like? That can be a tripwire. Comments from a friend, family member, someone that you know. Something they've said can be a tripwire. Shake you out of lethargy. That's one of the reasons when the scripture talks about provoking one another to love and good service. We need Christians who can be a tripwire in our life. Say, hey, are you going in the right direction? Is that the right decision? Just shake them out of autopilot. Say, hey, this is what I see in your life. You know, I'll pray for you. That's an excerpt from a really super practical lesson up on our website that I've done on the 10 tripwires of life. A tripwire is simply something that will set off an alarm in your life, hopefully just an alarm, and it won't blow up and hurt you. And I gave the reference, or I gave an example of a tripwire. In fact, it was in our garage, and I was noticing it just yesterday. The garage door is starting to come down, and one of the kids' balls rolls past and blocks the tripwire, or that light beam, and the door opens up again. We need those kind of things in our life to remind us that things need to change. And if you don't have tripwires, you need them. You need to put them in place. And you want to get thinking about that, just listen to the lesson. It's at our website at theintentionallife.com. Click under Listen. It'll be there for you. And it's made possible because of the generous financial and prayer support of members all around the country who support this ministry. And for those of you who do, God bless you. For those of you who are not, come and join us. Let's do this thing of life together. Call 888-888-1717, press number 2 to talk to our staff, or anytime online at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Opposite sex friendships, Veronica in New Mexico, had a chance to talk to her, and I said, thank you for your call, Veronica, and she shares with us what she's learned.
I completely agree with you that there can't really be a friendship. I think the definition of what some of your callers have been somewhat distorted. So for me, I am a single woman in a male-dominated field. Mm-hmm. So the majority of my friends happen to be male. Mm-hmm. But I am not friends, in my mind, I'm not friends with a married male. I'm friends with his marriage. So yes. When I am communicating with my male friend, I'm also communicating with his wife. And everything is very clear. I do not communicate with my married friends without the knowledge of their wife.
So how do you do that? How do you actually execute that if you're going to email or text or talk, or how do you manage that?
Yeah, when I text my male friend, I just CC his wife. Now, I do have friends that are married females. Now them, I don't CC their husbands.
Yeah, okay.
So it is a double standard. But for me, I want, because I have an interest in this friendship, I certainly do not want to introduce any miscommunication in their marriage. I want to support this marriage because I value them as people. So I'm not going to want to bring anything external. Now, because I work in a male-dominated field, I've also encountered one too many male coworkers who are married. And it's actually strictly been married coworkers who have not been professional. The scariest thing that happened to me was a male married coworker tried to forcibly kiss me.
Mm.
And at the time, I remember thinking, why did I deserve this?
No, you didn't.
I took on the shame that didn't belong to me because I felt like I had somehow done this to myself. Like I had done something that he misinterpreted.
Yeah. Well, that's abuse.
That happened when I was in my 20s. I'm now 50. And just last month, I had a coworker, so we had to do a work trip. He told me that the work was going to be 3 days. Well, he told the people the company where we were going that it was going to be for 2 days. And when we were there, he was trying to convince me to go do another place for the third day.
And what did you do? How did you handle that moment?
I basically just kept saying no. So every time he kept bringing it up, like, do you want to go here? Do you want to go here? I'm like, no. The first time I did explain to him why I was not going. But then when I realized he didn't care. He has no interest in me. He didn't care. Mm-hmm. He only wanted to hear what he wanted to hear.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Veronica, next time we're going to HR, I think, right? No is no. Listen, that gets back to what I was talking about earlier. Thank you, Veronica, when I had a chance to talk to her. And she really illustrates what I was talking about with this implementation intentions, fancy way of saying if then, if this happens, I'm ready. I'm not going to be drawn by my emotion or the moment or whatever, guilt, shame. I know what I'm going to do and why I'm going to do it. I want to honor Christ. And I want to live a life that I can look back and Say, I've not been perfect, but well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the good news is, wherever you are today, God's a forgiving God. You can start being intentional today, doing that next right one thing. It's huge. All right. Teresa, I talked to her in Arizona, and I said, welcome to the show, Teresa. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My story is really not my own. It's my, I have two siblings, actually, where this happened, but one recently where my brother was in a relationship with this woman from work and just, you know, kept telling my sister-in-law, you know, oh, she, we're just friends. And but their communication and contact increased, and he was spending more time with her than my sister-in-law. And, you know, kept assuring my sister-in-law, oh, no, we're just friends. And by the time this came out and he was talking to our family, you know, we said, well, Tom, you're having an emotional affair, if nothing else, you know. And he just kept denying it. But anyway, he's filed for divorce and he's supposedly in love with this woman. Mm-hmm. So I just don't. I've seen this so many times. I just don't think it ever works. I mean, except for what the lady said, as far as you have to make your spouse your best friend.
Yeah.
Make your spouse your first and foremost.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let me just add to this. Just think with me for a minute. If you're emotionally involved with another person and they're willing to be involved with you knowing it's going to destroy your marriage, and you're going to leave your spouse and marry that person, what would keep them from doing that again? I mean, we have to just think logically. And then, you know, in my years of experience of working with people, I've not heard happy stories that come from this. Let me encourage you. If you got a problem in your marriage today, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how serious it might be, deal with that problem. Whatever that means, get in counseling, deal with the issues, confront it, be intentional, because it's easy to say, well, I'll just go over here and do this instead and just leave this as a mess or unresolved. And I know there's complexity to all that. Listen, I understand. I'm in the field. I understand the issues. But don't leave that unfinished business. That's the real message, I think. If you got an issue, deal with it. And if you find yourself being attracted to someone else, ask the question, why is that? What's going on in my marriage that maybe that's a tripwire that I need to take a look at? Okay, let's go to Anne next. I had a chance to talk to her. Boy, she's got another take on this. Take a listen.
Well, the opposite sex friend is in my husband's life, and it is pornography.
Mm. And you guys have obviously talked about it.
He had told me about a year and a half ago, and probably 3 years before that, he kept saying, something's wrong with our marriage. Well, I kind of always had the, fake it till you make it kind of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was happy. I didn't think there was anything wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But it ended up getting where, you know, there's not a lot of talking going on, or I just said, let's go to marriage counseling. One of the steps in that was to ask forgiveness. I struggled trying to find things to forgive me for, and I found things. His thing was that.
Mm. And did that surprise you?
Yeah, it totally surprised me.
Yeah. How long ago was this?
About a year and a half ago.
Are you still in counseling? Is he working on this? Are you guys, is there progress?
No progress has been made, honestly.
Yeah.
And counseling was kind of, he didn't care to go back. Before this, about a year and a half into our marriage, he had come home, said he met up with a buddy at his garage, and they went to a women's degrading club, in my opinion. And he came home like it was no big deal. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a 9-month-old. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And so he found out quickly. I thought it was a big deal.
Where are you now in your marriage?
I don't know. I just don't blow up very often. So just roommates.
Have you ever run into a tripwire in your life?
What a tripwire is simply an opportunity to be shaken out of autopilot long enough to stop and think about what's going on in their life.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, he talks about 10 tripwires we can encounter in our lives and how we should respond to them.
Whenever a tripwire goes off in your life, I think we should ask two questions. One is, what is God's purpose in this? The second one is, as a result of that, what am I going to do?
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And I thank you. Listen to that. It's at theintentionallife.com, as Kurt said. It's very practical. 10 tripwires that you need to get a few of them placed around your life. Check it out. Thank you, members, for making that possible with your support. That's where the support goes, that, the radio, the podcast, things that we do. By the way, our podcast available. You can sign up for that online as well. It's there for you. If you can't catch the radio program, it's there for you at theintentionallife.com. Before we get back to a couple more calls, a couple things. Life is really tough. We know that. Life is hard. And then we as Christians sometimes make it harder than we ought to. And while intentional living doesn't eliminate all the problems of life, it kind of focuses on the self-inflicted ones. Come on, let's be honest. There's a lot of things in life we have no control over, but there are things we do. And sometimes in that area of control that we do have, our decision-making is a part of that. And one unnecessary self-inflicted tragedy is when an opposite-sex friendship that you may have outside of your marriage steps over the line and blows up and turns into something tragic for everybody involved. And some of you have been there. Don't assume it can't happen to you because it can. We need to protect our life and the life of our friend and our family. And today, if nothing else, that's the intention of the program. And that's why we're doing this. We want to help you be intentional in every area of your life for God's glory and certainly for the benefit of those you love, including yourself.
My name is Dawn, and I have been married more than once, and when you try and start having a friend of the opposite sex, and you're determined, and this is how it's going to be, it ends up ruining your marriage. I know my last husband was insistent on it, and it ended up ruining our marriage, and I know in my younger years, I insisted on it. I thought, well, this is the way it can be. And it always ends up being more because we're human. We are sinners and we're weak. The flesh is weak. So we have to maintain that friendship with our mate. Someday maybe that'll happen for me, but right now I just live my life for God. Thanks. Bye.
Boundaries. Big part of what we're talking about here. Wrapping up the show, I think we have time. Let's go to a call I had with Bob in Arizona a while ago. Really a sad story you're going to hear, but it's a reminder that often when we get into these problem areas of friendship outside of marriage, it's because of confiding in one another. This happens in all sorts of settings. You're going through a problem and you're not connecting with your spouse and you start to connect with somebody else. And I think that's really the pain of what you're going to hear from Bob. Take a listen.
Yeah, Dr. Randy, I'm still kind of struggling. I had a deal with my wife's sister back in 2014, getting divorced, and her divorce spilled over into our marriage. Her soon-to-be ex-husband, he was using my wife to lean on while he was getting divorced.
Mm.
They were talking on the phone all the time, and she was supposedly helping him with his taxes, helping him with questions on his taxes. But then it kept on going and kept on going, and I didn't know what was going on. But anyway, I don't want to get too deep into it.
No, I understand. No, that's fine.
But anyway, this was back in 2014, and it just reared its head again last year, started Thanksgiving, not this past Thanksgiving, but the one before. 2024, it was the worst year of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 65 years old. my wife and I, we've been together in July. It'll be 50 years we've been together. We've been married for, it'll be 47 in June. Mm-hmm. I'm to the point where we've done okay saving for retirement, but not to get divorced and be retired. Yeah. And at this point where I'm at, Dr. Randy, I'll tell you something. If I thought that I could afford to leave her, I would divorce. We'd already be divorced. It'd be over.
Mm. Is that what she wants, Dee?
No. No, she's kind of oblivious to this whole thing. Either that or she's playing it real cool. Mm. I don't know which.
Yeah. Have you guys been in counseling together over the years since then?
No, no. She absolutely will not go.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. You know, but I will say this. I've made peace with this thing. I've made adjustments in my life, and I've made peace, and I'm okay. You know, I just did not figure on going into end of retirement, not being able to stand my wife.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's kind of a sad way to end the show, but it's a reminder in this topic. And we wanted to shake things up a little bit and get us to think about this. The things that sometimes we don't think could ever happen do happen, and it's an issue that any of us that are married men make sure it doesn't happen to us. Five things as we wrap up the show today. Number one, plan ahead. Talked about that implementation intention, which is really if then. Prepare yourself. You're in a world, you're out there, especially if you're a friendly, connecting kind of person, and something may pop up, you may find yourself being attracted to someone. It's just part of the human condition. Plan ahead. You know how you're going to respond. Number two, don't assume it can't happen to you, because it can. Number three, protect your life and the life of your friend. Think of it in terms of not only yourself and your own emotions or my emotions, but also the lives of the other people that are affected, the families that are affected. And then with your spouse, have an open, honest communication. Be able to connect with what's going on in your relationship in a positive way. And then be able to respect your spouse's wishes. If they're concerned about an opposite sex friendship, respect that. And I talk to so many who don't, and that creates even further problems in the relationship. And then, of course, I think what's a key is building your marriage. There's so many things that we're committed to here at Intentional Living. Here's a question. What one thing could you do? What one thing could you stop doing over the next 30 days that would be the most significant positive addition or subtraction from your marriage? Do those things and see what happens. Maybe it's in this area, maybe not, but whatever area it is, do it for God's glory and your benefit. I'm Dr. Randy. For Jennifer, Stephen, and the rest of the team, thank you for being a part of Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.